Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, time.
welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. We're going to get music started in a few minutes, but I apologize if this is played twice, but I'm having some technical difficulties in my studio. So hang out with me, and I'll get it taken care of right away. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Praise and thanks. Mojuba Akoda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Alua Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ojeremo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe, welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013 and are quickly approaching our fifth anniversary and are looking forward to celebrating it with you. So please continue to support us and our sponsors, Manhood Racing Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as James Jones and on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com and as a liking group page. You also can support Arlie Gordon. You can find him on Facebook as Arlie Gordon II and on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. And last but not least, we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines, and the families and friends and loved ones that they represent. So please hit up Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. So to remind you, we are in full swing of the Redistribute the Pain campaign, and this is not just a one-time campaign. This is an ongoing campaign because we realize that the parasitic oppressors and the capitalists are making millions and millions of dollars off of our oppression, whether it be through the phone system, whether it be through the canteen, whether it be during visitations, whether it be through incentive packages. We need to send a clear message that we are a unified voice and that we will no longer continue to support our own oppression and legalized slavery, no matter where it is, but especially here in the United States of America. So please go to Redistribute the Pain on Facebook. You also can go to redistributethepain.wordpress.com and find out more information on how you can get involved. And I just want to send a shout out to all of the people from across the nation who have responded positively to Bars Beyond Bars. And we are in full swing of the Redistribute the Pain campaign and finalizing our second publication of Bars Beyond Bars, and we cannot do that without you. So if you know someone that is behind enemy lines that has something that they would like to express, if they are spoken word artists, we're looking for visual artists as well, please have them reach out to me, Queen Tahira on Facebook, at Queen Tahira on Twitter, and Queen _ Tahira on Instagram. My phone number, area code 513-913-2691, 513-913-2691. That is my direct number. And you can send a text and you can give me a call as well. And so our mailing address, should you wish to support Bars Beyond Bars, Redistribute the Pain, or Sign of the Times, is 1623 Dalton Street, D-A-L-T-O-N, Cincinnati, Ohio. And the unit is number 14939, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45250. You can send it to my attention, Queen Tahira. Again, that address where you can send a kind donation, we definitely would appreciate it because we've been self-sustaining for 5 years, y'all. And, you know, I've seen many blog talks come and go. And, you know, yeah, I'm going to pat myself on the back. Sign of the Times has been here 4 nights a week for almost 5 years. That is one heck of a commitment to the community, to these conversations, and to the people that we are uplifting with this information that we provide. So our mailing address, should you wish to send us information, is 1623 Dalton Street, D-A-L-T-O-N, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45250, and it's unit number 14939. If you missed any of that information, feel free to give me a call directly. Again, my number, 513-132-691. So tonight we have the honor of having our beloved brothers with the Country Rate Louisiana joining us in the conversation tonight. And there's a lot of things going on in Louisiana. They're in full swing of a work stoppage, and they need all the support they can get. They also themselves have a fundraising campaign to purchase a graphics machine so we can make plenty of T-shirts, and there in and of itself lies an opportunity for us, again, to continue to be self-sustaining. So I want to welcome Brother from Decarcerate Louisiana. How are you doing this evening, Brother? Welcome to Sign of the Times.
Hey, Queen Tahira, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm well. I'm still praying and sending positive energy to our beloved brother, King Dot T. Khalid, and it's my understanding that he is making progress, so, I mean, that's the best news I could get today.
Okay. Well, I'm here. I'm maintaining. I'm behind enemy lines, and I just want to talk about our program a little. And so if you can come forward with the questions, I'm ready. I'm ready for you.
All right. Well, for those who may have missed you the first time, two times we've had you all on the air, tell them what is Decarcerate Louisiana and how did it come about?
Okay. Decarcerate Louisiana is an anti-slavery movement. We are an abolitionist movement. We are based in the Louisiana State Penitentiary with membership at the border, inside and outside the prison system here in this state and across the country. When we say decarcerate, it's a meaning that says we don't believe in putting more money, people's tax dollars, to jails and prisons and law enforcement when it comes to solving crime, because most of the crime, as we see it, is stems from inequities in the system. And so, and the crime that I'm speaking about now is not the crime that rich people commit, but the crime that we see every day on our streets and impoverished communities. Environments, I would say. So it's that category of crime that I believe is irresponsible to solve by using jails and prisons and put more money towards law enforcement. So when we speak of decarcerate, we're saying that we want to divest from spending money into jails and prisons and law enforcement. We want to put the money into the community, high education, job training programs, different workshops and what have you that teach people skills, useful trades that help them to be productive in their community. So that's what we mean when we say incarcerate. We want to incarcerate the Louisiana. That's what we want to do. We want to transform our ghettos into communities, and we want to transform the prison system into a place of learning, a place where prisoners, like a workshop, you know, like, for instance, we think of it like a shop where we may take broken appliances to get fixed, like a radio or a TV or a computer or something like that. And so that's what I mean when I say that we want to transform the prison system. We want it to be transformed from a model that focuses on punishment into a model that focuses on fixing people, restoring people, reviving people, and then reclaiming people.
Ashe, Ashe. I mean, brother, you know, when I know that there's other decarcerate movements in the United States. I do know Bob Whitnick, who's from Decarcerate, I believe, New Jersey. And he and I have worked together for the past 3 years. And so it's interesting to hear you say that it has taken the prisoners themselves to say, you know, we demand rehabilitation. I thought, you know, most people have the impression that that is exactly what the Department of Corrections does, is rehabilitate people. So can you paint the picture that lets people know the realities of what you actually live in a daily basis, and the catalyst, if you will, for the strike that's taking place?
Okay, hold on just one second.
No worries.
All right, okay. For our listeners that may not know, I'm behind enemy lines right now, and I'm incarcerated in the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. And they have laws on the books that tells us that every person that's committed to the Department of Corrections shall be treated in a humane manner and shall be rehabilitated. And so when we read that, you know, and that's on paper, you know, when our family and friends comes to visit us, they it's like a mirage. It's like when they come to see us, when our family and friends come to see us on the outside of the prison, it looks all good. So it would make people think that we are being treated okay. We are well. We are doing fine because the grass may be cut, flowers may be on the outside of the buildings that we are housed in. Hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on, sister. Please.
You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio. You can find Decarcerate Louisiana on Facebook under Decarcerate Louisiana. They also have a webpage as well. And like I said, they are in the process of pushing forward a fundraising campaign to help buy a press machine. And if anybody has one that they'd like to donate, I'm sure they'd take that one too. So I'm going to ask Brother to give his contact information when he comes back on with us. And so thank you for your patience. You know, so he remembers it's like this Brothers of the Sun when the Alabama movement would be on Sign of the Times. We're used to this. So, hello.
The guard's on the tip, man.
Okay. Take your time.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'm trying to be a In society, black people, you know, that's being shot down like animals
by cops and stuff, and we can see it, like they killed Officer Sterling. We can look in the officer's face and see the hatred. And you see it, it was shit uncalled for. You know, and so the same thing out there, it's the same thing in here. We're dealing with the same racism.
Yeah, well, there's no telling what they're spraying y'all with either. You know, by it having that big an impact on you all, and you were covered up. You know, what kind of impact does that have on the person that gets sprayed? This brother told me that some of it's Ophelia skin, some of that makes Ophelia skin, some of it's considered bear mane. That's just inhumane.
Right, it is. So that's why I jumped under the cover. Me and myself made both because I was born with bronchitis, and I can't stand too much of it. It messes me up, you know. Some guys can handle it pretty good, you know, and they don't have the reaction like I do to other guys do. Some guys, like right now, they talking like that never happened, you know. They not coughing or nothing. Some guys, I guess, they have a strong immune system. But they rushed both of the guys out. They took them out, so they're bringing them to the hospital now to be checked out. So yeah, it does that. You know, it's like it gets in your eyes and you can't see. It temporarily blinds you, you know, especially when it's up and close, like the cellmate. The guy I tell me, he didn't do anything wrong. They just sprayed both of them, you know, so he just was he just got caught, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time. So it's both of them is rushed out the cell to the hospital right now. So,
yeah, go ahead.
You see, it's so many problems. It's so many problems on the inside, you know, with denial of adequate medical care, like the situation we're talking about right now. I don't know the guy personally, but 9 times out of 10, you know, he probably is already on medication, on mental health medication. And and by right, according to the laws I have read dealing with mental health in a penal environment, in a prison context, they're supposed to place those guys on a unit. On a unit, they have a what you call CSU, meaning clinical service unit, for guys that have been diagnosed with mental health disorders, psychiatric disorders, or what have you. But because of the lack of funding for these programs, for the mental health programs, there's not enough space to hold all the guys that's been diagnosed with mental health problems. So what they do is they just mix them in a population with everybody else, with people that don't have disorders. Hold on, another guard is coming. Hold on. Okay, Queen, to hear I'm back. So that's one of the main reasons why we organized and what motivated me. That's just part of the reason what motivated me to create this organization, to put forward the Causeway to Louisiana, because it's so many abuses, it's so many constitutional violations, human rights violations that go on a daily basis, to where we can't win just by thinking if we file a lawsuit and we win a, and we win in court and we get an injunction on the prison that everything's gonna be all right, because in our study case law and they've had numerous lawsuits filed not just against this prison but against other prisons across the country, and so they have laws that such as the Prison Litigation Reform Act that is fixed so that there's only a short period of time that the injunction is allowed to stay pending on the prison system. So, and I believe that's 6 months to a year. So after 6 months to a year of giving the opportunity to bring the condition, the prison into compliance with the Constitution, the state will be given 6 months to a year to come into compliance with whatever the court order is. And the way it works is that they don't, the prison officials, through their state attorneys, they don't have to show that they are in full compliance of the Constitution within 6 months to a year. As long as if they can show some progress, they're making some progress, and if the judge is satisfied with it, then they are lifting the injunction, and slowly but surely, the system will start going right back to its old ways, and we'll be right back to the same thing. We'll be right back to ground one, you know. So what motivates me to put forward an organization like the Causeway Louisiana, because it's going to take a movement to stop these injustices. It's going to take a movement. It's going to take not just court orders by itself. It's going to take organized groups of people coming together and taking a stand, saying that if we're not going to tolerate these injustices, these constitutional rights violations, and if this happens again, then we're going on strike. We're going to shut this prison system down. We're not working no more. And so that's what I see, and that's what motivates me to put forward an organization like this, because that's what they respect. They don't respect court orders. They don't respect injunctions. They don't care about that. You know, what they do respect is large groups of people acting collectively, standing together for change. That's what they respect, and they want to talk, they want to negotiate, and they want to compromise. But as long as it's just a couple guys want to file a lawsuit, and we may even get the ACLU to get on board and file it, because it's been happening before in this prison and other prisons. And if the suit is won, then we'll have some temporary relief from 6 months to a year. And after that, the system will start going back to its old ways, and we'll find ourselves right back all over again, you know. That's what motivates me. But the main thing is what motivates me, is because I don't see myself as a prisoner. I understand my captivity. I know that I'm behind bars. I know that I'm locked up. But my thinking is that if I see myself as a prisoner, as somebody locked down, then that places, it has an effect on my mind, and it makes me act like a prisoner. So what I do is I tell myself that I'm a human being. I tell myself that I'm a free thinker. I tell myself that I was born for dominion. I was made for self-determination. I was made for self-rule. And that these are not man-made rights. These are God-given human rights. And that regardless of whatever mistake I have made, or the fellow people that's in bondage, regardless as to what mistake we made, We still human beings. If we haven't, if the state hasn't got us and just taken the life out of our body so that we no longer breathing living beings, then we have every right to stand up for ourselves. We have every right to stand up and demand that we be treated like human beings. We have a right to stand up, and we have a right to believe in ourselves, to strive for excellence, to strive for improvement, to seek a better way, we have a right to create, to innovate. We have a right to solve problems, to seek solutions to these problems, you know. And so those are not man-made rights. These are not man-made rights. These are rights that every human being has. If you have the breath that the Creator bred into the nostrils of mankind and made living beings, if you have that breath in your body and if you are still functioning, then you have the right. It's your right to stand firm, to believe in yourself, and to not give up that fight. And if you give up that fight, whether you in prison or you outside of prison, because you got people that give up out there too. If you give up, then of course you're going to be in bondage. And so that's the main thing that motivated me to create the Incarcerated Louisiana and to write out the vision statements, the mission statements, and seek outside help, you know, and because I believe in myself, you know, and that's the main thing that drives me.
Ashe,
I'm not now.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I'm not going to let another man, you know, that looks like me, you know, that was created to be my equal, not my superior, tell me that because you've made this mistake, that let me kick you in your behind. I'm not going to go along with that. That's just crazy. You got to be out of your mind. You know, if I made a mistake, if I made a poor choice, a wrong decision, I have to figure it out. I'm entitled to an environment, not just me, but my fellow human beings that's incarcerated. We have a right to an environment. I'm not saying that nothing should be done about people that have committed offenses against their fellow citizens. Yes, something should be done about it. I agree that something should be done about it, but I don't believe that we should be punished to where we just place in an institution and we just being dehumanized and treated like animals. That just doesn't make any sense because if just think about it. We have sciences like sociology, psychology, criminology, and we have these sciences because we want to understand human behavior. It's about learning. It's about solving problems. That's what these sciences are here for. It's here to help us to find solutions to problems. So when we find those solutions, then we're supposed to take those solutions and apply them, make use of them, you know. And so you know, that learning is also what helps me to see myself as not as, you know, as a prisoner the way they want me to see myself, because if I see myself the way the oppressor wants me to see myself, the vision that he has for me, if I go along with it, then I'm going to be defeated. You know, he's not going to defeat me. You know, I don't agree with your philosophy. You know, I agree with the philosophy of my forefathers, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey. You know, I try to line myself up, and it could be any human being for that matter, whether you're white, whether you, no matter what race you belong to, if it's something that's uplifting, if it's something that inspires you, that encourages you to wanna to want to better yourself, to want to yearn for betterment, for progress, and what have you. You know, then I endorse that. I accept it. You know, I'm with it. You know, but if the philosophy, if the ideology, is trying to encourage me to see myself as something less than that, you know, that tries to get me off that path from going forward, from learning, I fight that. I'm against that. I'm not with that. So that's what I mean when I say that our organization is our movement is anti-slavery. You know, we anti-oppression. We against that.
Ashe, and brother, one of the things that we talked about yesterday is that the circumstances that many of us come up in, especially if we grew up in the inner city, are not conducive to giving us all the things that we need to grow with educationally and career-wise. And so a lot of us end up in positions to where it's a point of survival, and we end up in, incarcerated or in court or whatever that leads to the incarceration. Talk about the decarcerate element that deals with looking at our communities and I guess reestablishing the things that we used to have at one point that made us great, you know, our coalescing with one another, and the things that we need to restore and put back in a fairly timely manner to where the next generation won't continue to suffer in this manner. And I yield back to you.
Okay. Our vision, the Decarcerate Louisiana vision, is it's a place that we see, that we envision of learning centers, workshops, and what have you, that help keep us integrated as a people, because if we're gonna have community, if we are gonna have community, we have to have resources, and we have to have freedom fighters. We have to have leaders to demand these resources, to go out and form organizations like what Malcolm did, the Organization of African American Unity. We have to have these organizations that bring our people into a forum, you know, to where we begin to discuss our needs as a community, our needs and wants as a people, and so that once we all come to an agreement of what our needs are, what our wants are, then we could begin to start planning. I'm sorry. I had to gotta be careful here. Yeah.
Take your time.
So
it's okay.
So yeah, because I'm behind, you know, enemy lines. I have to always keep an eye on to make sure that nobody's coming out. But as I was saying, we the places that we have right now, like in these urban areas, we like to call them communities, but when we think of what a community is, as I'm taught, it's a place where people are committed to sharing, learning, growing, and building together. So in order for that to happen, we have to have a forum that brings our people together. And from what I've learned is called a comprehensive community development planning process that brings our mothers and fathers, our aunts and uncles, sisters and brothers, and it brings different people together that have different skills, lawyers, people in the healthcare industry, people in the business community, people in the political community, environmentalists. It brings all us together to talk about what it's going to take for us to thrive as a people, you know. And so, you know, meaning, you know, how many jobs, how many jobs we need to accommodate our population. And in order for us to figure that out, we have to have people, census people, to give us the numbers so that we could know exactly how our population count is as a people, because that's important if we're gonna build community, if we're gonna have community. The planners, the developers, we have to know that. We have to know what our population is, and with that knowledge, then that help us to be able to plan and solve our environments accordingly for space, for business, for agriculture, for whatever industries that we need to be able to be self-sufficient as a people and to provide for ourselves. But as long as that there's an absence of our people coming together in this forum to decide this, then we remain at the mercy of people who don't care about us. You know, people that's going to decide what they think is best for us. And so that's why we have so much black-on-black crime or domestic violence within our community and what have you. Because, you know, when you look at the newspapers and you look at whenever they are having land use planning, a lot of us don't even know what land use planning means, but it's exactly what I'm talking about. It's when people come together and they decide, okay, what they want to call land use planning is a concept where people come together and for community building and they zone their land. Again, every time I look at a newspaper, I always see white people, and you are very seldom see a black person sitting at the round table being part of that planning process. It's always a majority of white people at that planning process, and it's not enough of us. So because of the lack of participation from us, this is how we're coming up with ghettos. This is why we're getting the outcome that we're getting, these ghettos and stuff. Because as I recall, and I was raised in New Orleans, when I open up the door, you see light liquor stores and ballrooms on almost every corner. And that's not helping people. That's not integrating us. You know, and we wonder why we have this senseless crime. You have the senseless crime because our people are not integrated. When you look out the door, like in New Orleans, where I was raised at, I look out the door, this is what you see. These light ballrooms and liquor stores on almost every other corner. A library, that's like way downtown. That's like 2-3 miles. So, so if you want, if we really are anti-crime, if we really concerned about solving crime, we have to get involved in a planning process. And it takes somebody that's passionate, like Martin Luther King, like Malcolm X, the leaders that we have right now today. I'm doing the best I can from a prison cell and reaching out to people like I'm doing now and recruiting here and there and because I would like to see the Incarcerated Louisiana become a nonprofit organization so that we could get more resources and things of that nature so that we can so that we can become more known to the free world, more known to society. But again, you know, if we're gonna solve crime, and that's a big problem in the black community, if we're gonna solve that, we're gonna have to need organizations like Incarcerated. And it's not just Incarcerated, again, it's not just focus on prisoners' rights. It's about human rights, human beings, whether we're inside the prison system or outside. And again, we want to transform our ghettos into communities and our prison system into a model that right now is focused on punishment and to one that's focused on educating people, rehabilitating us. That's what's going to solve the crime. That's what's going to help us to understand what community is, because we don't understand, a lot of our young people, we don't know what that means. We don't know what community is. We don't know that community is a place where, you know, people are actively interested in and caring for one another, being there for one another, support one another, sharing, growing, and learning. That's soaring. We don't understand that. You know, we our young people, a lot of our people, they don't get that.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that for a second. Well, we're at the top of the hour. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio. And when we come back, brother, let's discuss the dynamics in our community. Because one of the things that I heard Baba Kaba Kabeem speak on is the fact that we are dependent and reliant on our oppressor to the extent to where there aren't enough of us coming together. And we have just as many well-off, if you will, or wealthy people in the African community, but for some reason they're not taking their money and collectively buying schools and buying property and establishing hospitals and things of that nature. They're not doing that. And we need to examine exactly why that is. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We'll be right back.
No, trapped in the ghetto, my people, we gotta make it out. Headed in the wrong direction, we need another route. Revolutionary gorilla.
Documents were written from a perspective of the supremacy of class and ethnicity. what resulted from these egregious errors were the ill-motivated, ill-enforced amendments that were incapable of rectifying the travesty of those documented policies. What we found was not a melting pot, but rather a whistling kettle, sounding the alarm as it was boiling over with consternation among the people, forcing the hand of men who would see to their God-given rights. The root of the problem was far deeper than an inability of inter-ethnic relations. The source derived from political exploits and legal ramifications that proved to be frail and fraudulent. The same would inevitably keep the nation in a continual chaotic state of some sorts. And how frightening it is to know that even in our present time, political, legal, and economic exploitation maintains common place in the dark havens of our democracy. Angry ratification as a sacrificial iron wheel of Reverend Nathaniel Turner, pounding the pavement with troops swollen with prophetic indignation against all odds. It is the packed sales in the rest of 60s, making headlines on TV to voice prophetic grievances, not to tickle ears and appease revolutionary statesmanship, as found embodied in General Toussaint Louverture on the shores of Haiti, setting political holes and ideological strongholds on who's capable, who is a conqueror, or more succinctly, who is also a man. We are called to continue in his legacy, unashamed to denounce political figures by name. Are we afraid and ashamed to lose tax exemptions if we truly preach in his name in America? And who is speaking prophetic truth to power and making our world a morally better place? These are my thoughts, not just for my tomorrow, but for our tomorrow. Future in our hands, ours for the taking, shaping, and making.
Shay, welcome back, everybody. That was the Chainstorm Poets, and it's titled "The More Things Change, The More Things Stay the Same." They will have a CD coming out here soon. We are working on getting that released. We have selected the cuts finally, and so look forward to that from the Chainstorm Poets. And that was your girl after the Sam Dubose murder. By Ray Tensing here in Cincinnati, the University of Cincinnati police officer who got away with murder. So welcome back, brother. Tonight we have Decarcerate Louisiana on Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio. But can you give out your websites and your contact information, please?
All right. Our website is decarceratelouisiana.com. We also have a blog. You can find us at incarceratelouisiana.blogspot.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/incarceratelouisiana. We are on Twitter at twitter.com/incarceratela. And you can contact us at incarceratelouisiana@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And so, you know, thank you for this engaging conversation tonight. I mean, it don't get no realer than this, you know. And for those who are listening on your phone, you can push 1 if you would like to come into the conversation. If you're listening on your computer, you can dial in at 917-889-8059. And again, don't forget to push the number 1. So let's talk about that, brother. Again, we are dependent, too dependent, out of convenience and a certain amount, and to be honest, the laziness that we become accustomed to at our fingertips. And it's caused us to be really reliant on those who are outside of our cipher, if you will. We need to do something about that. And like I said, we have just as many well-off, economically stable people in the Black community that could come together and put together schools and hospitals and recreation centers and start programs and things like that. But we aren't. So how do we get over that hurdle, whatever it is? We know that it starts with communication. How can we, I guess, get more communal conversations so we can become comfortable with one another again and have mutual respect and show love and trust in one another? And I yield to you.
Okay. So I don't have all the answers, but I would say that from what I see is it seems like when we're inspired, like where I'm at right now on the inside, and it seems like it takes oppression to really wake our people up, to really make us want to stand up and fight back and do something for ourselves. Not just oppression to, you know, because it's like, you know, like how you just slap somebody in the face and you know, like wake up, you know, they sleep or something, or somebody was in a fight and got knocked out, and you slap them or something to try to wake them up. That's what I mean. We're going to need something. It's going to take a combination of things, because people get involved for different reasons. And I know that what made me concerned about the struggle and wanting to get involved in a struggle for human rights and human dignity is this place played a part, this prison, the oppression that I've gone through in this prison, but also being locked inside the cell, the solitary confinement for over 15 years, and just reading, because you lie down 23 hours a day. That played a big part in waking me up and making me want to do something. You know, it made me want to do something. To put my best foot forward in doing something to fight back against the oppression that I see that is still being inflicted on our people, not just in prison, but on the outside in these rural and urban impoverished environments where the masses of our people are at, Black, brown, and also poor white suit. So that's what did it for me. I know Malcolm, he got woke up, he was in prison, and he became awakened when he started doing a lot of reading and stuff. Marcus Garvey, it didn't take him to go to prison, but he was, and it didn't take Martin Luther King to go to prison either, to become awakened and wanted to get involved in social change movements and fight for voting rights, civil rights, and create a society where all people can thrive. You know, Garvey and Martin Luther King didn't have to go to prison, but at that the time that they were living in, King was living in the 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, and in that area right there. And Garvey was even before that, in like the 30s, 20s, and in the early 1900s. But at that time, there was a lot of oppression. You still had concrete leasing going on, which was another form of slavery right after the Civil War. So it was a lot of oppression. It was the racism was more blatant and what it is now. It's still here right now today. It's just that a lot of us see it today. We have to have some kind of knowledge. We have to be somewhat not well educated, but at least informed about our rights. You know, as human beings and stuff, you know, and about why the Creator placed us here on this earth, you know, to have some measure of control over ourselves. We have to be connected with some kind of awareness that help us to see ourselves in a more expansive way, and to make us, you know, to just push us to want to carry on that legacy, you know, to continue to fight for justice, to continue to fight for freedom, for human rights and human dignity, you know, and we have a few brothers and sisters out there. We have some movement. But it just seems that we don't see the same passion like that we saw with the Black Panthers and that we saw with Martin Luther King and those organizations, you know, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in that area and in times before, you know, we don't see the same, you know, level of commitment. So I understand where you're at, and I just think that it's going to take someone lead by example. You know, it's going to take someone to get out there to create an organization. And like Mark did, like Malcolm did, and lead by example. You know, somebody's going to have to stand up and do that. Because as it seems right now, we have, you know, we don't have no movement or no organization like that right now. You know, if they are there, they're very low-key. They very low-key. We have them, but it's I know we have them, but it just seems that they, you know, I see a lot of passion coming from guys on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's locked up, like, you know, the leadership of the Free Alabama movement, the leadership we see in California with their California Human Rights Coalition, and they amend the 13th movement to abolish slavery. It seems as though we see more passion coming from the guys on the inside, you know, rather than our people on the outside. They're not really calling the system out. They're not, you know, condemning these ghettos. You know, they allow like Francis Swain. When I read a lot of our local newspapers in New Orleans, they refer to places where I come from as a community, and we know damn well, even a lot of these youngsters that just come up here, they'll tell you that man, it's so up out there. All of them say that it's so up out there. So why are we continuing to lie to ourselves and say that in the paper? Because I constantly keep referencing to the places where we live at as being communities. They're ghettos. And so we need to stop. We need to tell the truth. We need to stop playing like it's a community. And again, a community is a place where people are actively committed to sharing, to learning, to growing, and building together. People know one another. You know, people don't. It's not a place where we don't know who stays next door to us. We don't know who lives across the street. That's not a community where we are disconnected like that. That's not a community, and we need to call it what it is. It's a ghetto. The masses of our people, not all of us. I hear that we have some community. We have some black community, like the Nation of Islam. I hear we have some communities, and people are really living like that. But for the masses of our people, we are confined in ghettos. That's what we're living in. We need to tell the truth about the places where the masses of our people are. We need to tell the truth about it. We need to condemn it. When the issue of crime comes up, we need to stop letting ourselves get so emotionally involved to where we just go along with other people. That's the best way to handle it. Lock them up and throw away the key. You know, my brother was killed, and he was killed in 1998 by gunfire. I'm angry as hell about it. But do I want him to be locked up in a prison system and oppressed by these people? Hell no. That's not the way to solve that. I want the way I want justice for the person that killed my brother, I want him to be in an institution to be governed by sociologists, psychologists, our people that really care about us. You know, that's really trying to, the same way we take a radio to the repair shop or a computer. We want it to be repaired before we just throw it away. We want to see if it can be fixed. So if we as a society, if we have enough sense, if we have enough sense to want to fix a computer, before I throw this away, let me see if I can get this fixed first. Let me take my car to the auto place and see if this can be fixed first before I just, you know, get me another car. If we got enough sense to say that, then why shouldn't we do it for something more precious as a human life? We do it for things.
That's right.
Why can't we do it
for
people?
Right.
You know, and so you take a tour through our state prison, and you go into the dormitory, the cell blocks, you're going to see a majority of black people. So it's obvious that white people get it. And I have white friends. White people get it. They don't see prisons and jails as a place to solve their problems. They not with that. You know, they want other people to go along with that. You know, and that philosophy, okay, if you do the crime, it should be called convicted and punished. That don't even sound right. You know, not for someone that's in full possession of their sense. You know, somebody that's really, you know, in tune with why we're here on this earth. You know, we have a brain, and that brain enables us to be able to think, to be able to reason, to be able to ratiocinate. You know, we are not animals. We are not alligators, you know, and stuff like this. You know, we are human beings. We have a brain to think. You know, so. What I get is that we're here to create, we're here to innovate, we're here to seek improvement, and we're here to find a better way. So the person that killed my brother, I want him to be in a place where he can learn to find out where he went wrong there. Whatever led him on the path, whether it was gang banging, whether it was drug dealing. We want to have the scholars. We want to have some of our brightest minds, you know, to be in leadership positions of our correction system or whatever we want to call it, you know, to find out what the problem is, what's the root of the problem, and then we'll be able to start really getting somewhere. That's how you really solve problems. problems to, so that this never happen again. You know, we want to prevent crime, and so if we're going to prevent it, we have to be focused on solving a problem. And solving a problem is not just locking people up and just saying, you know, that's it. You know, we're going to put you in here, and that's it. No rehabilitation opportunities. You know, nothing to try to learn to figure out what went wrong or, you know, why you made this choice or bad decision or what have you. And that's how the system is. I mean, they fooled us on paper, and when y'all come and see us, you know, you look at the outside, you see a pretty building on the outside. But in here, you know, on the inside, it's a living hell. It's a living nightmare. I just had to put the phone down just not to jump under the cover because they made somebody. They didn't even have that to do. They didn't even give the guy opportunity to come to the cell and be restrained. You know, and that's how that's the procedure. You come to the bar. Stick your hands out the bar. They didn't even give them that opportunity to even do that. They just came straight to the cell and sprayed it. And when they did that, I immediately took the headphones out my ear and jumped under the cover. You know, so. We have to lead by example. We have to, like our young people, we have to start. All right, that's Frank coming. Hold on, Queen. Hold on, they making the dogs make around. Yeah, come now.
Decarcerate Louisiana has a page on Facebook. It's named Decarcerate Louisiana. Please go to it, check it out. There's lots of information there, and there's constant updates about what's going on in the state. So please go on Facebook and check out Decarcerate Louisiana.
Okay, I'm back on. So as I was saying, that it's going to take somebody. We're going to have to lead by example, and it's going to take. It's going to take leadership. It's going to take leadership. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take people that you know, like me. You know, I'm to a point now to where I care about myself, but I don't care about losing my life. I don't care about losing my life and a struggle for freedom and a battle for freedom, justice, and equality. I don't care about it. I don't care about, you know, having $1 billion, like, you know, some of our black billionaires or, you know, and stuff like that, and I'm supposed to be satisfied. I don't see myself as an individual anymore. You know, I see myself as a community. You know, so, and the individual, that's just, you know, a smaller, you know, part of, you know, who I am. But the larger part of who I am as a community, And so I identify with that. So we have to get our people to start identifying with not just themselves as an individual, but themselves as a community. And I think that when that happens, then there'll be a shift. There'll be a psychological shift in our consciousness, and it will compel us to start wanting to not just get the things that we want by ourselves so that we can be all right, so that we can be straight as a person, but it'll make us start wanting to stand up and fight for the things that so that we can be all right as a people, as a community. And so that's the thing of get people to see themselves in a bigger light, because we focus on the individual, and that's what's hindering us right now, and from progress as a community, because we see ourselves as individuals.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. And I think it's protection mode, because it doesn't feel good to sacrifice and things not go well. But you have to get past that and open up and make ourselves vulnerable to the process. So, brother, we've got 6 months left in this year. Tomorrow is June the 1st. And so... What can we do between now and before 2019 arrives as a community in these 6 months?
All right. For our audience and people that's listening, the organizations that's out there, like it's Black, we've been hearing a lot about Black Lives Matter. We have organizations like the New Black Panther Party. We have organizations it's quite a number of them. So for our people on the outside, slow down a little bit. I will put it this way. I think that any organization that exists right now in this country, whether it's a non-profit organization or it's not a non-profit, because we call ourselves an organization and we're on the inside, but we're striving for non-profit status. I think that we have to reach out to our people. We have to reach out to God. It's our responsibility. Once we become aware of the seriousness of our problems and the threats that face us as individuals and as families and as communities, we have to reach out to our people and tell them about our organization, communicate them to them our concerns and why is it important for us to come together, to work together and to contribute in whatever little way that they can. Like us with Incarcerated Louisiana, again, this is not a prisoner rights organization. This is a human rights organization, a human rights movement, and we want to transform not just the prison system and move it from a model of punishment into one that's focused on rehabilitation, but we also want to transform our places on the outside from ghettos into thriving communities. So we have to reach out, and so that's what we are doing. And what our people can do from 6 months, to now is to
We have flyers and brochures at thecrossroadslouisiana.com/documents. You can download those documents and you can pass them out to students, because students is very instrumental in movements and stuff and helping feeling movements. Students are very concerned about learning. They feel growing. So we would like our brochures to get on college and flyers to get on college campuses and universities, so we can connect with students. Because students are, from what I understand, are also concerned about mass incarceration too, and they are looking for answers too. So we want them to know that there are people on the inside that's looking for answers as well. So if we can unite and we can link up, that'd be great. And so we need help with getting our flyers and brochures passed out on the outside. We have a silk screen that we're trying to buy, and from what I hear, that's going to cost like $800 and something, and we want to have T-shirts made with the Incarcerate Louisiana on the front of it, with our icon with the three fists, and on the back of the T-shirt, we want classmates not selfish. And then we have a bunch of hands at the bottom of that shows people coming together, you know, and it's from different cultures, like, you know, white, black, and people of color. Because if we are really going to change the system, then people have to cooperate. We have to work together. It just can't just be, you know, just all black, you know, because although there are a few whites that's in the system, as I see it in Angola right now, you walk down these cell blocks down these stairs, you're going to count the white people on your hand. Like on this stair, they got 26 people on this stair. And there's one white person in cell 4, there's one white person in cell 4, and cell 5, and there's an Asian guy in cell 3. And this is how it is throughout the working blocks. You're going to count them on your hand, and the rest of them are black people. So when it comes to mass incarceration, we are disproportionately affected by this. So I'm sorry if I kind of digress a little bit, but, you know, we
you're good.
Okay.
So
the silk screen machine, we have a link for it, and people can donate to it so that we can get the funds, and we can purchase this machine, and we can get T-shirts made, and so that people can become more aware of our movement and stuff, you know, and so that it's out there, you know, the brochures, the T-shirts, you know. That will help that people can get involved and help us to pass the flyers out on the outside and to donate to get that silk screen. Also, ways that people can get involved, because I happen to be the writer that drafts a lot of these flyers and brochures, and we need people that can type real good, that can type real well. So we need help with typing. We need help with support with just when it comes to, like we need a spokesperson, you know, to just represent our cause sometimes when events is held on the outside, you know. We would like to have spokespersons on the outside that can relate our vision, our mission, the goals that we have and stuff to the people on the outside, so they can become more aware of us. We also want to become a nonprofit organization. So we need help with finding lawyers to help us to become a legal nonprofit, you know, and to helping us brainstorm and figure that out. Um, you can find, again, you know, we have a link at facebook.com/incarceratedlouisiana. And if you show it on the page, we have a list of 23 things where people can participate, people can get involved and to help us in the movement building process to decarcerate. And again, decarcerate is to transform our ghettos into communities and to transform the prison system from one that focuses on punishment to one that focuses on rehabilitation and provides a skill so that we can go out back into the place where we come from and be productive in that place. That's what decarcerate means.
Ashe, Ashe. Thank you so much for being a part of tonight's conversation, for all the hard work that you do. I want to invite you one last time, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, please push one. Get closed out. And again, Decarcerate Louisiana on Facebook and decarceratelouisiana.com. Please get involved. And if you have a loved one that is behind enemy lines and maybe you've lost track of them, we also can help you find them. So reach out to us. Closing. I know we do this every 2 weeks. Do you have anything that you would like the listeners to know before we close out for tonight?
Just that I care, you know, I care. I'm concerned about the welfare, you know, of our people, you know, of human beings in general. And I want to play my part in helping. And I want you to see me. I would like for people to see me as not as an inmate, you know, a prisoner, you know, but as a captain, you know, somebody that's held in captivity. That's how I see myself as a captain, you know, and that as long as I have the breath in my God, in my body, that I was created, bred into the nostrils of mankind and made a living soul, I'm never going to give up. I'm going to continue to fight, you know. I'm not even a good speaker, you know, and some of you probably listening. And can hear me struggling with what I want to say, but I'm not afraid neither. I'm going to keep learning. I'm never going to give up. And whenever I'm called, whenever my hands is called, I'm going to show up. My hands was called today at 5 o'clock, and I showed up. I didn't back down.
That's true.
And I'm going to be there. I'm going to keep speaking until I get better.
Do an excellent job. Look, nobody can tell your story like you. You know, you're living this. And, you know, that's something that we as a society need to do. We have to humanize struggle. You're real, you know. And that matters. You know, that matters. People can hear it in your voice. People can hear it in your commitment and the things that you say and the things that Decarcerate Louisiana is about. So keep doing the work. You know, we got your back. I'll continue to share and help spread the message as much as I can about Decarcerate Louisiana. And you got a lot of good people in your corner, you know, I know that. And, you know, we'll see you in 2 weeks, and we'll do this again. And if you want to reach out again, Decarcerate Louisiana on Facebook, decarceratelouisiana.com, please reach out to these brothers. They need your help. So thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon here.
Okay, thank you all, and thanks for listening.
Ashe. All right, everybody, we'll see you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific. This is Queen Tahira signing off for the night. We're going to rock it out with one mic tomorrow night, everybody.
One time. Yeah. Yeah. Yo. Yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things his son did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip. Writing names on my hollow tips, plotting shit, mad violence, who I'm gon' body, this hood politics acknowledge it. Leave bodies chopped up in garbages, seeds watch us, grow up and try to follow us, police watch us, roll up and try knocking us. One knee I duck, could it be my time is up? With my luck I got up, the cops shot again. Bus stop glass burst, a fiend drops his Heineken, ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out, I shoot back, fuck getting hit. This is my hood, I'm a rep to the death of it, to everybody come on. Little niggas is grown, hood rats, don't abortion your wound. We need more warriors soon, sent from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's like a police chase, the street sweepers and coppers stick up kids with no conscience, leaving victims with doctors. If you really think you ready to die, when nine's out, this is what nine's about, nigga, the time is now.
One mic, one mic, one mic, all I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, that's all I need. All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, all I need, niggas, all I need is one mic, one mic, one mic, yeah. All I need is one blunt, one page, and one pen, one prayer. Tell God, forgive me for one sin. Matter of fact, maybe more than one. Look back at all the hatred against me. Fuck all of them. Jesus died at age 33. That's 33 shots from twin Glocks and 16 apiece. That's 32, which means one of my guns was holding 17. 27 hit your crew, 6 winners to you. Everybody gotta die sometime. Hope your funeral never get shot up. Bullets tear through the innocent. Nothing is fair. Niggas roll up, shooting from wheelchairs. My heart is racing, tasting revenge in the air. I let this shit slide for too many years, too many times now. I'm strapped with a couple of Macs, too many nines. If y'all niggas really with me, get busy, load up the semis. Do more than just hold it, explode the clip until you empty. There's nothing in our way. They bust, we bust, they rust, we rust. Let's fly and feel it, I feel it in my gut. That we take these bitches to war, lie them down, cause we stronger now, my nigga. This time is now.
All I need is one mic, one mic, one mic. That's all I need, nigga. That's all I need. All I need is one mic. All I need is one mic, one mic. That's all a nigga need to do his thing, no. All I need is one mic.
All I need is one life, one try, one breath on one man. What I stand for, speak for itself. They don't understand or want to see me on top. Too egotistical, talking all that slick shit the same way these bitches do. Wonder what my secrets is. Niggas will move on you only if they know what your weaknesses. I have none. Too late to grab guns, I'm blasting cause I'm a fool nigga. Thought I wouldn't have that ass done. Fooled you niggas, what you call an infinite brawl. Eternal souls clashing, world gets deep. Some beef is everlasting, complete with thick scars. Brothers knifing each other up in prison. Yards, drama, where does it start? You know the block was ill as a youngster. Every night it was like a cop would be killed. Body found in the dumpster, for real a hustler. Purchased my range, niggas throwing dirt on my name. Jealous cause fiends got they working good plain. Bitches left me cause they thought I was finished. Shoulda knew she wasn't true, she came to me when a man caught a sentence. Diamonds are blinding, I never make the same mistakes. Moving with a change of pace, lighter load. See now the king is straight, swelling my melon. Cause none of these niggas real hurt equal. Telling police how can a kingpin squeal. This is crazy, I'm on the right track. I'm finally found. You need some soul searching. The time is now.
All I need is one mic. One mic. One mic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All I need is one mic. One mic. That's all I ever needed in this world. Fuck cash. All I need is one mic. One mic. Fuck the cars, the jewelry. All I need is one mic. Spread my voice to the whole world.